Good morning. Today's daf and Shavuos is Mem Beis. We're in Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. We're at the two dots. We're going back over the case. Some of the cases of the Mishnah. Claims and counterclaims. Claims about owing money. Counterclaims of either I don't owe you money or maybe I owe you some part of the claim. So the reason why we're here and we're discussing this in the sixth paragraph of Shavuos is because we're talking about Shavuos HaDayanim and specifically Modeh B'Miksas. Modeh B'Miksas, when a person admits to owing part of the claim but denies owing the remainder, so the Torah imposes a Shavuah on the individual. So we've been discussing various scenarios in which it would be Modeh B'Miksas, it would not be Modeh B'Miksas, and many halachas that we went over in the last couple of days regarding the actual Shavuah of Modeh B'Miksas. We are now in the Gemara on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're just continuing where we left off yesterday. So we start off with the halacha. Said over in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav Asi, that if I lend somebody with witnesses, so I have to pay back in front of witnesses. Now, as we know, when it comes to a loan, there basically we can organize the loans into two categories. One category of loans is the milva bishtar, when I lend money and we write up a contract that in fact he owes me back the money. In other words, what we would simply call a note. Or milva alpeh is when I lend money, and I do so, but with no document, just a simple handshake. You're going to pay me back the money? Yes, I will. And we move on from there. So there are basically loans can be divided into two. Now, when does milva bishtar? So obviously, the malva is in a good position. In other words, he now has documented proof that the loan has not been paid back. Because as long as he's holding the shtar, that is excellent evidence, the best evidence that the loan hasn't paid back. Upon repayment of the loan, what normally happens is that now the borrower takes back the note and tears the note up. That's what should normally happen at the conclusion of a loan. Over here, we're discussing where the loan was not done with a document. It wasn't a mevah shtar, it was a mevah peh, but it was given in front of two witnesses. So I lend somebody money in front of two witnesses. So according to Rabbi Yehuda Merav, so if I do so in front of two witnesses, he has to pay me back in two witnesses. Why? In front of two witnesses? Why would that be? So presumably the explanation is, well, the Gemara doesn't say this, and the truth of the matter is Rashi doesn't say this as well, but it seems pretty clear from the Gemara, from the upcoming Gemara, it's as almost if I made a tanai. I made a stipulation. Meaning, look, I'm obviously trusting you to the point where we're not writing up a note. Okay, but I don't trust you that much. Meaning, I need a pair of witnesses to see me give you the money. And so now that we have, you see here clearly that I have witnesses watching me give you the money, right, and I brought him here for that purpose. So that basically means now that I trust you, but I don't trust you that much. And when you pay me back, you're going to pay me back in front of two witnesses. And so the Gemara says, at least according to Rav Yehuda right now in this first viewpoint, we'll see this is going to be a major debate over the course of this first sugya of today's daf. So if I lend with witnesses, the repayment has to be done in front of witnesses. And, of course, it goes on. That means to say that if he claims that he may pay me back without witnesses, that's not considered repayment, and he's still going to have to pay me back.
So why will the lender insist that the other guy gets witnesses and benefit
if
he doesn't get
it? Well, wait one second. Just give it a moment. You'll see. There's a number of wrinkles in this discussion. So Kiram Ritzah Kamad Yishmol Lamer Liyachol Lamer La Parase Bifnei Ploni Uploni V'Halchu Lahem L'Medina Sayam. So Shmuel says, I don't understand. In other words, okay, fine. So as far as the borrower is concerned, he's got to pay back with witnesses. That's fine. So here's what he'll claim. He can make a claim that, look, I paid you back in front of witnesses. Where are they right now? Oh, they went away. Medina Sayam. But in other words, I did pay you back with witnesses, so according to Shmuel, so even though he may agree in theory, in principle, that you have to pay back in front of witnesses, but at the same time, a legitimate claim that he could make, he meaning the borrower, is that I did pay you back in front of witnesses, it's just that the witnesses are no longer here. Tanan. The Gemara quotes our Mishnah, Manali biyadach ha'am alohein. So the Mishnah says, you owe me a money. The counterclaim is, it's not a counterclaim, it's an agreement. Yes, I do owe you the money. Move on to day number two. Lamacha maloteneoli. Day number two, so the lender says to the borrower, okay, yesterday we established that I lent you money, which is true, I did. And you agreed to it yesterday. So today, let's move on to step number two. Okay, pay me back. So nesati chalach. And here, on day number two, the borrower says to the lender, what do you mean? I paid you already. Potter. So under those circumstances, he doesn't have to make a shvua. So meaning he doesn't have to pay, and on top of that, he doesn't have to make a shvua as well. Maybe Rashi points out over here. I don't mean maybe, but Shvuos Heses, meaning, okay, this is now called a full-blown denial. And as we learned in yesterday's daf, there is a Shvuah imposed by the Chachamim that was established post-Mishnah by Rav Nachman that you have to make a Shvuos Heses. Okay, fine. But we're right now learning the Mishnah, and according to the Mishnah, Pater. Pater means you don't have to pay, and you also Pater Mishvuah. And the Gemara now has what seemingly is a wonderful question. Because over here, he said to the guy on day one, look, you owe me the money. Presumably, it wasn't just a conversation. It was a conversation in front of witnesses. And the guy admitted that he owed money, that he owed money in front of witnesses. Now we move on to day number two. But before we move on to day number two, the Gemara is basically asking, isn't this tantamount to lending the money with witnesses? And now that at least in the middle of the loan, we're having a conversation in front of witnesses. Isn't that basically the same as lending the money with witnesses? And meanwhile, the Mishnah says, you're potter. Tiyufta de Ravasi, and this would seemingly be a challenge against Ravasi, as we turn to the top of Mem Alpha Med Beis. Amalacha Ravasi, to which Ravasi responds, Anaki Amri Hechadimi Karaus Vebeidim, de Loli Dide Hemne. So the Ravasi says, look, I can make a very easy distinction, and a very good distinction. Look, at the origination of the loan, when I am about to lend them the money, I say, wait 1 second, stop. Let's get those witnesses over. So there, under such circumstances, it's a vote of no confidence when I'm lending him the money. And by me having witnesses there at that point in time, I'm basically saying, don't pay me back until there are witnesses that are here, just like there are witnesses right now as I'm lending you the money. That's at the origination of the loan. But if we're mid-loan, and then we're having a conversation, and I have witnesses coming for the conversation, that doesn't affect the terms of the loan. Meaning that the origination of this particular loan, if there were no witnesses, so there was a vote of confidence. So that means now that the expectation is that when he pays me, he doesn't need witnesses. In fact, the Gemara says the distinction's very good. Hacha, but over here, third line down, hahemne. Over here, though, meaning the Mishnah's case, where at the origination of the loan there were no witnesses, that was a vote of confidence, that was a vote of credibility, and therefore you don't need witnesses upon repayment. And that's why in our Mishnah's case, when he says the next day, oh, I paid you already, don't you remember? He's believed, because at the origination of the loan there were no witnesses. Good. Rav Yosef Matni Hachi. Rav Yosef has a slightly different version of how this discussion went. I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Rav Asi, so we start off the same. I'm Avis Chaver Beidim, Einu Tzarech Lefar Beidim. But with one, in the second version, with one minor adjustment, and that is a reversal of psak. Even though I lent money with witnesses, I don't have to pay him back with witnesses. V'imarmar. Now, if he says, b'feirush, al tefrein ela be'edim, where now he verbally stipulates and clearly stipulates that the only way you're going to pay me back is in front of witnesses, sarach lapar be'edim, then you have to pay with edim. Oh, and this goes back to the way I originally presented the Gemara. Meaning, now you see the Gemara very clearly. Meaning, in the second version, so if I just simply have witnesses over there, so even though it's a vote of no confidence, but it's not a clear tonight. Meaning, I didn't clearly stipulate to the guy, and you must pay me back with witnesses. However, the contrast, of course, is that if I clearly state to the man that the only way you're going to pay me back is in front of witnesses, now we have a Tanai, now we have a clear Tanai, and now he's got to pay back with witnesses. Kiyam Rizikami Dishmol. Now, in the second version where the halacha now is that if you land with witnesses, you don't have to pay back with witnesses. Now the matter was said in front of Shmuel, and Amar Li, Yachol Amar La Parasich Bifnei Ploni Uploni, V'achol Lahem L'mdina Sayam. Now Shmuel says that even if their stipulation was that I have to pay back with witnesses, still, you know what an acceptable response is on the part of the borrower? He could say, I did pay you back with witnesses. Where are they right now? They're out of town. But in other words, but I did pay you back with witnesses. Okay. So now in the second version of the Gemara's discussion, so the starting point is that if I lend with witnesses, I don't have to pay back with witnesses unless clearly stipulated. And even then, Shmuel says, the borrower could still make the counterclaim of, I did pay you back with witnesses. They're just not here. Okay, so now, as far as the next part of this discussion, it's going to look very similar to what we had on, according to the first version. We quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah, day one, where's my money? You owe me the money. And on day one, he agrees. And this conversation takes place in front of witnesses. And then, what's it called? Tanan. Money libi yadach amar lo hein. Yeah, where's the money? He says, yes, I owe you the money. Amar lo al tenei li ela bifnei edim. And then he says to him, this is not the Mishnah. And then he says to him, okay, but now when you're going to pay me back, you're going to pay me back in front of witnesses. So, and the next day he says, give me the money. He says, what do you mean? I give it to you. So here, because there was a very clear, articulate stipulation that the only way you're going to pay me back is in front of witnesses, therefore any payment done not in front of witnesses is not an acceptable payment, and therefore he has to pay. And to Yufta de Shmuel, and this now is a problem in Shmuel, because remember, Shmuel said that even with a clear stipulation, you can counter and say, I paid you back with witnesses. They're just not here right now. So clearly this is going against Shmuel. Am lecha Shmuel tanahi. So Shmuel will tell you, look, you're right. The brisa you just quoted to me, that goes against me. Okay, but there are other tanaim who agree with me. Gemara quotes the brisa. Ditanya. I lent you with witnesses. I need you to pay me back with witnesses. Oh, yitein o yavi raya shenasan. So either you give or you bring a proof that you gave. But in other words, you can only pay back with witnesses. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra Amar Yecholam Allah Parasecha Bifnei Ploni Ploni. V'achulahem lemedinas hayam. And then the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra is, nah. In other words, you just simply say, I paid you back with witnesses. Where are they right now? They're away. In this brisa, clearly we have two opinions, and clearly Shmuel is adopting the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra, that even when there was a clear stipulation that you have to pay back with witnesses, if and when you claim that you paid back and you said, I did pay you with witnesses, they're not here right now, according to Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra, that's acceptable, and Shmuel is adopting his viewpoint. So Rav Acha asked the following question, how do I know that this entire discussion with its clear stipulation is b'shas halva at the time of the loan. Dilma b'shas tviyakai. Maybe it could be that we're only talking about at the time of the claim of the loan. It's post-origination. It's mid-loan. V'hachi kamerle. And this is how we can understand the conversation. La be'edim hil v'sicha, be'edim hayala farani. Didn't I lend you with witnesses? You got to pay me back with witnesses. Ava b'shas halva. But if at the origination of the loan, in other words, if there was a clear stipulation at the point of origination, look, I'm lending you with witnesses, and the only way I'm accepting payment back is for, in front of witnesses. So what the Gemara now is arguing is, according to everyone, meaning in the brisa we just learned together, according to everyone, the only acceptable form of repayment is only in front of witnesses. Anything short of that is unacceptable. Even a claim of, I paid you in front of witnesses, but they're gone now, that is going to be unacceptable. Okay, and so therefore, where are we right now? If I lend with witnesses is without making a clear stipulation, is that tantamount to me saying that the only way you can pay me back is with witnesses? So we have two versions of Rav Asi. One version is you don't have to pay with witnesses. I'm sorry. The first version is you do have to pay with witnesses. Second version is you don't have to pay in front of witnesses. And then what if there was a clear stipulation? So according to the first version, didn't discuss, according to the second version, if there was a clear stipulation at the origination, you have to pay back with witnesses. And what about Shmuel's position? Shmuel's position is that you can always claim, meaning you, the borrower, can always claim that I paid you back with witnesses. They're just not here right now. Do we accept Shmuel's position? Unclear from the Gemara so far. The Gemara brought down a brisa where seemingly we have one Tana, Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra, signing with Shmuel, but then the Gemara says, but that may not be talking about at the point of origination. That may be talking about mid-loan, where there, a clear stipulation may or may not require repayment in front of witnesses. But if at the point of origination there was a clear stipulation, so what the Gemara is arguing is that you have to pay back with in front of witnesses. So that is so far a summary of the Gemara. We're almost done with the sugya. Amar Papi Mishmed Rav Hilchasa Mavis Chaver Beidim Sarach Lepar Beidim. Rav Papi Mishmed Rav Amar Mavis Chaver Beidim Ein Sarach Lepar Beidim. So you have the Amoraim arguing, each one of them, by the way, quoting Rava. Via Amar Alter Freini Ela Beidim. But if there was a clear stipulation, Sarach Lepar Beidim, so then you have to pay back in front of witnesses with a clear stipulation. V'im Amar Lo Parasicha Bifnei Ploni Ploni V'achlam Lebidin Sayam. So we have now the case of, let's say, the borrower with a clear stipulation then comes back and says, I paid you with witnesses, but they're not here right now. Is he believed or not? In our Girsa of the Gemara, we have the word Naaman. In other Girsas of the Gemara, we have the word Zeno Naaman. So even from the Gemara's conclusion, it's not clear where we land on all this. Okay, that is the end of the Gemara Sugya of, is there a requirement to pay back a loan? When the loan money was lent, it was done in front of witnesses without a clear stipulation. with a clear stipulation, is there a requirement for the borrower to pay back in front of witnesses? And can he make a counterclaim of, I did pay you back in front of witnesses, they're gone, they went out of town. So far, Gemara deliberated, debated, and the Gemara did not end on a very clear note on this issue. Okay. From here until the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, so we have eight various scenarios that we're going to be going over in terms of lender-borrower. So we start off with the simanim. The Gemara gives us a mnemonic in terms of helping us to commit to memory the eight different cases. And so Simon, Reuven, Shimon, Tanu Hilchasa, Yasvei Pari, Ploni Ploni, Afsi, Sitrai, Behemnune, Kibay Trey. That's the mnemonic to help us memorize. And now there are cases. This is now number one. Lender says to the borrower, here's what I want you to do. Not only going to be paying me back in front of witnesses, but I'm identifying who the witnesses are going to be. They're going to be Reuven and Shimon. And so therefore, the only acceptable repayment of the loan is in front of Reuven and Shimon. Anything less than that is not considered repayment. And now the borrower paid back, and he paid back in front of witnesses, but it wasn't Reuven and Shimon. So I'm Rabbi Ba'ape Petrei. So Abaye says, okay, but he paid back in front of witnesses. Okay, it wasn't Reuven and Shimon who were stipulated, but still, it was two witnesses, two kosher witnesses. Abaye says it should be good. So Amrle Ba'ape Betre Pare. I'm sorry, Ba'ape Betre, Amrle, Ba'ape Betre Pare. So Abaye says it's fine. So Amrle Rava Lachik Amrle Ba'ape Reuven V'Shimon Ki Hechadola Nitche. And Rava says, no, look at the stipulation. It was super clear. He said, the only way I'm accepting payment is in front of Reuven and Shimon. Because he, meaning the lender, obviously trusted Reuven and Shimon. And so anything short of that, according to Rava, is not considered repayment. The fact that the borrower did in fact pay back in front of two kosher witnesses, I mean, that's nice, but that wasn't what stipulated. And look, there were terms to this loan. And if the borrower accepts these terms of the loans, he has to abide by these terms of the loan. And if the terms included that the only acceptable payment is in front of two witnesses, that's it. Those are the terms of the loan. Case number two. So here is a interesting clause in the loan, and that is when you're going to repay me, you're going to pay me back, not just in front of two kosher edim, but tamid chachamim. They have to be people who are tanu hilchasa. They know halacha. So azapare bein delay. And so now he paid back, and he paid back privately. It's not suhanech zuzei. And now what happened to the money? So the lender, after having gotten repaid back the loan, so then he lost the money. Now, also come to Rav Nachman. So now the lender goes to Rav Nachman and he now makes the following argument. Amalei in. And he says to Rav Nachman, let's start off with the following. I lent the money to him. The stipulation was very clear. He can only pay me back in front of witnesses who are Talmid Chachamim. And he paid me back privately. And yes, I received the money privately. He tells Rav Nachman. Kibul kibaltinu minach. Derech pikadon. But I didn't accept the money as repayment of the loan. Because remember, I clearly stipulated that the only acceptable repayment is in front of Talmid Chachamim. So when he gave me the money, so I held the money. Not as repayment of the loan, but rather as a pikadon. In other words, good, you gave me the money, but this is not repayment. I'm going to watch the money until and when we get Talmid Chachamim, so now what's going to happen is we'll get the Talmid Chachamim over here. And I don't know if you necessarily need now to hand the money back to the borrower, to hand it back to the lender. But in other words, the Talmid Chachamim will be there to verify that the money was paid back. But up until that point in time, it's a pikadon. And it's a pikadon. And what am I right now? Let's say I'm a Shomer Chinam. Okay, just for argument's sake. Let's say I'm a Shomer Chinam. So basically, so he still owes me the money. So Rav Nachman's ruling over here is super clear. Rav Nachman says, you admitted that you accepted the money. That's called repayment. So, and as far as you need a pair of Talmid Chachamim, looks as Rav Nachman. I'm right here. I'll get Rav Sheshes to come over. Here's a pair of Talmid Chachamim. And when you find the money, so then bring the money over here. Here's a pair of Talmid Chachamim. And then the Tanai will be fulfilled. But you admit that you received the money. That's called repayment. And Rav Nachman says the case is over. The borrower has satisfactorily paid back his debt. Case number three. So the person said to his friend, give me the $100 that I lent you. So So the borrower says, what are you talking about? Right? The expression, lahadom, lohayu dvar me'olam, just a simple, flat denial. It never happened. I never borrowed money from you. What are you talking about? Azalai says, sahadidu usriya pare. So here's the complication in this case. Now, there were a pair of witnesses that were brought by the lender. And now the witnesses, they gave too much information. The witnesses said, here's what happened. Yes, he lent them the money. And yes, that person paid back the money. So now this is a real head scratcher. So on one hand, the borrower's claim was, this never happened. The loan never happened. This is all fiction. And now the witnesses say, no, it did happen. But you know what happened? The loan happened and the repayment of the loan happened. So who do we believe? It's a head scratcher. So Amar Abaye Mayna Avad Inu Amri Usfei Inu Amri Pare. So Abaye says, look, I don't know what to do right now. On one hand, he's denying the loan. On the other hand, we have witnesses who said that there was a loan, but there was a repayment of the loan. So Abaye says, I'm going to have to side right now with the witnesses. And the witnesses said that the money was borrowed and the money was paid back. Rav Amar Kola Omer Lo Levisi Komer Lo Parasi Dami. No. Rav says, look, let's sit on his claim very carefully. His claim was Lo Levisi, I never borrowed the money. Never borrowed the money is really tantamount to saying, I never paid back the money. Meaning that even though right now his claim is loan never happened, really if you distill that claim, like really shake it up and distill it, what he's really saying is, I never paid it back. So once we now have, so what do we have now on the table over here? I have his claim as I never paid back the loan. We have a pair of witnesses who said that he borrowed the money, but he paid it back. So you have his word against the witness's word. Now, generally speaking, when you have Edim HaMachishim, when I have witnesses that are contradictory one to another, so generally speaking, we throw everything out. On the other hand, this is Hodas Atzmo. He's admitting on his own that he didn't pay back the loan. Yes, it's being contradicted by witnesses, but Hodas Atzmo, now generally we say throughout the Gemara, Hodas Atzmo Kameya Edim Dami. It's like 100 witnesses. Over here, what we're going to say now is that it's slightly better than outside testimony. As long as he's now, his version of the story is I never paid back the loan, so we're going to take his word over that of the witnesses. Therefore, says Rava, he has to pay back the loan. Well, that's what he has said. I can listen, but I'm not that good.
What else could he have said?
Right. What else?
You implied because you said, I haven't borrowed, so which means I've been repaid. Well, yeah. That's what he has said when he said, give me the money you owe me. Like, what should I say? I can't say, I haven't borrowed because then it means I admitted that.
Right. That's what he said. Right. But once the witnesses establishes that there was a loan, we have to reinterpret what he said. Meaning, if there was no external witnesses and he said lo hayid varmi olam, of course we believe him. But now that the witnesses come along and establish that there was a loan, so now what he really meant was I never paid back.
Okay.
Case number four. Guy says to another, look, 100 zuz, you owe it to me. Let's go. And his response was, what do you mean? I paid you back in front of so and so and so and so. And he identified two witnesses. And the witness come along and the witnesses said, we don't know what the guy's talking about. Right? Barra says, we were witnesses? What? We weren't witnesses to anything. You know, like, get out of here. So several of Sheshah's amemer hooks are kafran. So Rav Sheshah says, okay, the Barra's clearly a liar. And so right now at this point in time, we assume now that anything future coming out of his mouth is just simply a lie. And now he's going to have to pay. Now, mind you, by the way, let's just make sure that we got this part clear. Meaning, obviously, this is a milvah peh. And obviously, had he not came out with a lie, had he not fabricated, he could have just simply said, I paid you back, and that would have been the end of the discussion. But now complicated matters by making up a story of he paid back in front of witnesses. We now learn that the story is nonsense. He just lied. He made it up. So now, even though he could have just simply said, I paid you back the money and that would have been it, but now that he's a liar, and therefore, he's going to have to pay. So Amalei Rav, Kol Milsa, Dolo Rami, Ala, Dinish, Lava, Daite. And Rava says, look, and this is not the first time we've heard Rava say this, even in our very own Masechta. Rava says, look, generally speaking, what are people are ready to commit to memory? Things that are significant. Insignificant activities, like what I ate this morning for breakfast. I haven't had breakfast yet. Ask me what I had yesterday for breakfast. Ask me what I had 2 days ago. Insignificant activities are not expected to be remembered and recorded. And over here, even though the man says, I paid you back, and I paid you back with a pair of witnesses. Now, I understand, by the way, in the payback of a loan, I hear an argument that is considered significant. But still, what the Gemara now is arguing, what Rava's arguing is that the fact that he misremembered something like this is not critical, and therefore, even though it is not true what he said, but you can't hold him accountable for something like this kind of I misremembered. And so therefore, it's not Huchza Kafran, and therefore, we can go forward, and if he now wants to claim I paid back the loan, we'll accept his testimony if I paid back the loan. If he gave more details, that's an excellent point. If he gave more details, do we then say he misremembered? So all I can tell you is I know the Gemara coming up. It would seem to be that with more details, you no longer can say I misremembered. Well, you'll see. The Gemara is going to be very clear. This is now case number 5. We're on Mem Alpha Amud Beis. We're on the very bottom, 2 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're going through 8 different scenarios of lending and borrowing, various complications that come across in the history of the loan. That requires the Amoraim to arrive at a definitive psak, and sometimes you see that the Amoraim are arguing in these various cases. Case number 5. How would the Amor le lechaver havele shis me'azuzah demasik nabach? So this is a loan of 600 zuz. Okay, a good size loan. And Amor le v'lo particha mea ka be'avtze dekaima b'shisa shisa. To which the borrower says to the lender, what are you talking about? 600 zuz loan, I borrowed the money, I paid you back. And don't you remember there were these avtze, right, gall nuts? So, and I paid you back and I gave you 100 of them. And you remember we at the appraisal, at the time when I gave you the gall nuts, they appraised for 6 zuz each. So I gave you 100 gall nuts appraised at 6 zuz each. I paid you back the loan. Like, what are you bothering me for? So, Amar Lay, top of Membeza Madalef, Lav Arba Arba Havakaime. And the lender says to the borrower, everything you said so far is true with one important detail. That's not correct. And that it was at the appraisal of the gall nuts. The gall nuts did not appraise for 6 zuz a gall nut. It only appraised for 4 zuz a gall nut. So that means that you did give me back the 100 gall nuts, and they did appraise, but only for 400, not for 600. You still have, there are 200 zuz on the books that you still owe me. So, also trace adiv amru in bar 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 havakaime. So, along comes the witnesses, and the witnesses say, yeah, we were there for the appraisal. The appraisal came in at 4 zuz, meaning the lender's right. Amar Rava Huchza Kafran. So now Rava comes along and Rava says, so what do we now call the bar? We're going to call him what he is. He's a liar. Meaning he knows that he gave the hundred zuz and he knows that it was not worth 6 zuz. He knows it was worth 4. And how do I know that he knows all this? Because we have a pair of witnesses. And the witnesses say that they were there for the appraisal and the appraisal came in at 4, not at 6. And so basically, we're now able to call the borrower a liar. Not just name calling. Meaning, he clearly has deviated from the truth and went in what he said that, in what he said the appraisal went for. And so Rami Bar Chama turns to Rava and says, wait a second. You're the same Rava who just, in Gemara terminology, 5 lines ago, or in an interval, however, a day ago, a week ago, whatever. You're the same Rava who said that non-significant events do not need to be remembered. And if you misremember something that was a non-significant event, you're not held accountable for that. You're the same Rava. So over here, okay, so he misremembered. So they appraised for 4 and now he said that they appraised for 6. Isn't that considered something which is non-significant? And Amalei Rava, and Rava to which Rava responds, and this answer of Rava, I think we can all intuit. Kitsusa de Tara Mitka de Kiri Inche. You people remember how much you pay for things. Okay, in other words, I got a deal. Here's what I paid for it. And that's not an insignificant event. That's considered a significant detail that people generally commit to memory. If he's paying back a loan, he's paying back in gold nuts, and now there's an appraisal. And how much it appraised for? Whatever that number is, that's significant. Rava says, under those circumstances, I'm not going to allow him to simply say later, I misremembered. Something like that is not misremembered. He knew it was four. And when he says now six, that's, now we can successfully call him a liar. He knew it was four. Case number six. Man says to his friend, give me 100 zuz that you owe me. Vahashtara. So, and now, in case number six, we introduce the all-powerful note. So the lender now is holding a note and saying, look, you owe me the money, here's a note. What more is there to talk about? Amalei parasicha. So the borrower says to the lender, come on, I paid you the money. In other words, the fact that you're holding the note in your hand right now, I understand that's a difficulty. Meaning I should have taken the note away from you, I should have torn it up, I understood. But I paid you the money. So Amalei Hanusi Trininu. To which the lender says to the borrower, that was a side loan. What are you talking about? Meaning there were two loans outstanding between me and you. One of them was documented, the other one was not documented. The money you paid me back was for another loan. So now, here we have now a really awkward conversation between lender and borrower, where lender is saying to the borrower, you owe me the money. Borrower says, I agree I owe you the money, I paid you back. Where lender now is trying to say, oh, that's for another line item. That's for another loan, not for this loan.
She did nice.
What? Which the borrower, right, or, right. Correct, correct. And the borrower is not agreeing to right. A second loan. Amar Rav Nachman Isrei Shtarei. So Rav Nachman says, now what we have done is that we have impugned the document. Meaning by the lender admitting that he did receive the money and now trying to explain that money away by saying there was another loan, the document now is impugned. Isrei Shtarei. Now what exactly does that mean the document is impugned? Does it mean that we take now the document away from him? Sorry, ran out of breath. Does it mean that we take the document away from him? Does it mean that he gets to hold on to it? And maybe together with something else he could use it? It's not perfectly clear from the Gemara, nor is it clear from Rashi. I'll read the Rashi inside Isrei Shtara. Hol umodishi kablem v'lav kol kemenei lomar satrayninu. It's not, says Rashi, it's not within his power to just simply say, oh, the payment that I received was for another loan. He can't do that. So it's not clear from the Gemara what we're now going to do with this document according to Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman states very clearly the document has been impugned. Now Rav Papa Amar lo Isrei Shtara, now Rav Papa disagrees. He says, no, document has not been impugned. Ula Rav Papa Maishna Me'ahud Amar Le'lechavrei Havle Me'ezuzim Demasitam Bach V'ashtara. So the Gemara says to Rav Papa, how is that any different than the following case? Case starts off the same. Man says to his friend, you owe me money. And here's a document. And Amar Le Lav Aturi Yahavtile V'aisei V'isyavita Amaschasa V'kebalta Zuzech V'amar Le Hanusi Trininu. So to which the borrower says to the lender, wait one second. I paid you back. And let's be very clear over here. Meaning, and this wasn't just a regular loan document, but rather this was a venture loan. Meaning you had over here a venture capitalist who gave money to another person as a loan. But really what is supposed to now be done with this money is it's supposed to be made into a business. And over here, the business is really simple. We'll buy an ox, shech the ox, sell the meat, split the profits, okay? Like all the Iskar arrangements we discussed back in Bab Metzia. Okay, so this was a loan, but a loan that was meant to be used as business and with the profits being split. And Amar Le Lava Tur Yavdali, and the bar says to the lender, and you were with me, meaning when we were standing by the, what the Gemara describes as the Amschata Rashi says is a marketplace, V'kibalti Zuzech, and then after I bought the ox, after I shechted the ox, after we sold the meat, we split the money. So what are you talking about that I didn't pay you back on that loan? Meaning, you're holding a note. The note was dedicated towards a loan slash business. We made a profit. I paid you back the loan. We split the profits. And honestly, like, what are you saying I didn't pay you back the note? Of course I paid you back the loan. V'amar le honesty trininu. And now the lender is going to try to make the argument, oh, that money that you gave me, that was for something else. V'amar Rav Papa Isrei Shtara. And Rav Papa says, no, it's not. Rav Papa says, it was for the note. And if now the lender is agreeing that he got paid back the money and also splitting of the profit, So at that point in time, now the note's impugned. So you see Rav Papa clearly agreeing over here that once he agrees that he got the money, now the note is impugned. And so how can Rav Papa say in the previous case that the note is not impugned? Hasim kevin dekamaraturi yaftulei, omitur shakalta, itzrei shtara, hacha, emar sitrai ninu. So the Gemara says, look, if we have as the second case, with the kind of details that are so rich and so full, where there was a note which was meant as a loan slash business business venture, and then we went and we bought the ox and we sold the ox. There's so many details over here for now the lender to come along and say, "Oh, that was all for something else. That was not for this note." Meaning at that point in time, his argument is really weak. In fact, it's so weak, we're going to say, Isra Shtara, that the note is going to be impugned. But if we have just a simple lender-borrower, and the lender now says, hey, you owe me the money, and the borrower says, I paid you back, and the lender says, no, that was for something else, under those circumstances, with all, and you don't have the kind of details that we just gave, so Rav Papa now wants to argue that the lender's argument of that was for another note, or for another loan, I should say, is in fact a successful argument. Anyway, what comes out now is, can the lender now say, after having admitted getting paid, say that that was for something else? So we have a machlokas. My havi alam, Rav Papi amar lo isra shtara, or shesh b'rid Rav Ida amar isra shtara, v'hilchas le isra shtara. Gemara brings in another machlokas amarayim, and then the Gemara finally concedes, it is, in fact, the note is going to be impugned. Once he admits to having received the money, so the note's impugned. But that's only true if the money was paid back with witnesses. Velo itgar le shtare, and no mention of the note was mentioned. Avapari bein didele dide, but if it was a private repayment of the loan, migu diachol lamemar lo hayidvar miolam yachol nami lamemar sitraninu ukedavim ebreid rabbi abo. And then to which the Gemara says, if it was a private repayment of the loan, since the lender can say, what are you talking about? You never paid me back. He now also has the ability to say, oh, that which you paid me back is going to be for a side loan. But in other words, this note has not been paid me back. And again, by the way, I'll go back to what I said at the beginning of this particular discussion. Meaning, if the borrower does what he's supposed to do, which is that upon repayment, take the note, destroy the note, so then we would never have gotten to this mess. Why in this particular case, the borrower didn't do that? It's interesting. And it certainly, that provides a little bit of credence to the part of the lender when the lender then goes on to try to explain that repayment was for something else. Okay. Case number 7 of the Gemara. Mem Beis Amud Aleph, halfway down the Amud. Ha'ud Amar Le L'Chavrei Mehamdali Klaimas Amar Li Lo Parani. So here now, a loan, and here the condition, the terms of this particular loan is that the borrower says to the lender, look, anytime you say, I didn't pay the loan, I'm going to believe you. In other words, I guess in this particular case, the borrower was desperate, really needed the money. And so what he did is he extended super credibility to the part of the lender where he's basically now saying to the lender, you said I didn't pay, you're going to be believed. And so now what the borrower does is he pays back the money, but he does so in front of witnesses. So Abai and Rava say, okay, I know he paid back in front of witnesses, but remember, the terms of the loan was that as long as the lender says, you didn't pay me, so then we're going to believe the lender. Those were the given terms of the loan. And so even though it was paid back in front of witnesses, and witnesses are an excellent source of evidence, but it's not going to change the terms of the loan. So Maskel of Rav Papa Nihid, it's famous, to which Rav Papa says, no. Over here, look, I understand that the borrower extended super credibility to the part of the lender. And if there ever surfaced a debate between the lender and the borrower, where the lender said, he didn't pay me, the borrower said, he paid me, look, we go back to the point of the origination of the loan, there were these terms, and these terms were, we're going to believe the lender over the borrower. Those were the terms of the loan. But here, you have witnesses. So to say now that he has extra credibility, more credibility than a pair of witnesses, that you can't say. Case number 8. This is the last case of this of these series of cases. So the borrower says to the lender, not only are you going to have super credibility, but I'm extending your credibility to that of two witnesses. So now basically, again, the borrower must have been very desperate, I'm assuming, and the borrower basically says to the lender, look, as far as I'm concerned, you are now going to be believed. Anytime you say the note has not been repaid, I should say better, the loan has not been repaid. So I'm going to believe you as if you're two witnesses. Kol emes amar lo parana, as long as you say the note hasn't been paid. Also para ba'apitlasa. And so now the borrower wants to pay back, and knowing that this particular lender has this much super credibility, so he pays back in front of three witnesses, because three is better than two. So amar rapapa kebei trehemne, kebei tlasa lohemne. So rapapa says, okay, he gave the lender the credibility of two, but not three. So amalei ravuna breder of Yeshua, rapapa emadamir rabbanan dozen abasa rov deos, hanemi lingin umdana, the kamadin afisha bikiya tfei. Wait one second. When we're talking about how three is better than two, that's things like appraisals. So when we're doing an appraisal, having a panel of three is better than having a panel of two. Avalin and Adus, but if we're talking about testimony, mea ketre v'tre kameya. We all know the rules. The rules are, you have a pair of witnesses. In Adus, a pair of witnesses is three of a kind. It's a flush. Okay, if you don't have to like the poker analogy. But in other words, in Adus, it's all the same. One is just as strong as the other. So over here, so you paid back with three witnesses, that's good. But you told the lender that he's going to have the credibility of two witnesses. They're on par with one another. Okay? Yeah, exactly. Now, if he says you didn't pay, you didn't pay. Lish Nachman, and now we're going to do this again in a slightly different format. So you're going to believe me like two? As long as I say you didn't pay. And the borrower agreed to these terms. And now the story goes on to be the same. He paid back in front of three. Oh, it's okay. Three is better than two. And the counter argument, as we already went over, is what do you mean? Three is better than two, but that's things like appraisals. Three is not better than two in terms of edus. Now, in the second version, an interesting detail. Let's say the bar says to the lender, I'm going to believe you like three witnesses. Now, three witnesses is an odd number. Meaning, I mean that both literally and figuratively. It's an odd number. Because if he just went to the simply say that I extend to you maximum credibility, what's maximum credibility? Two witnesses. Now, you don't get better than two. Anything above that is the same. So maximum credibility is two. So when the terms of the loan is I'm going to believe you like three, so it's an odd number, and based on that, so basically we're saying that number three is very specific, which means now that under these circumstances, if now the borrower wants to pay back with four witnesses, their four is going to be three. I know it's funny, but if you understood the Gemara well, so then the conclusion is three is not going to be two, but four is going to be three. If you're following the Gemara's conclusion.
If the borrower and lender are going to show up in front of a Beit Din to settle their case, what does the borrower's recognition of two or three witnesses matter? It's the Beit Din that actually determines whether the witnesses are significant or not.
No, in other words, here, again, there were specific terms to this particular loan. There was a Tanai, there was a condition. And in this particular loan, the conditions were that the borrower says to the lender that I'm going to believe you, I'm going to extend to you extra credibility. Extra credibility either over me or extra credibility as much as two witnesses. But in other words, he's extending extra credibility, to which now the lender has this given power in which he could just simply say, you didn't pay me, even against witnesses.
So how will it be paid? How can you repay it?
Right, yeah, right. Correct. I guess a receipt. I guess. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Okay. We are now on Membeis Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, and we've gone through the eight cases of the Gemara. Now we're returning back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Ein ishban al tanz chereshot v'katan vein mashbin es akatan." So the Mishnah says that you don't swear when the claim is being made by somebody who is an eno ben das, my taima. Based on what? I'm a krak hitain ish el re'eu kesef okein lishmor vein esin es katan klum. The Torah says very clearly that who is the originator? Who is giving it to you, the item, to watch? So it has to be an ish, which means then that the claim is coming from the same person, which is an ish. Anything short of that, someone who is an enobar das, it's not considered an asina, and therefore won't prompt a shvua. Avan ishman lekatan lehektesh. However, you do make a shvua to a minor or to hektesh. V'hamar reisha enishman matanah shot v'katan. So the Gemara realizes that the Mishnah just crossed itself within two lines of one another. Meaning the Mishnah first says that if the tain is coming from Cher Shotav Katan, you don't have to respond. It doesn't demand a Shvuah. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, but you do swear to a Katan and to Hekdesh. Like, what is going on in the Mishnah? So Amrav Bebabatainis Aviv Virabalaz Ben Yaakov Iditanya. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it could be that we're dealing with the following case, and that is that we're not dealing with the principal borrower and lender, but we're dealing with where it's the child of one of them, specifically in the following scenario. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Pamim Shadam Nishma Tanis Atzmo. Sometimes the person will make a shvuah, even though who is the Tana coming from? It's coming from himself. What does that mean? Let's go on. Ketzan. So a man goes over to a kid. I say kid right now. The age is important, but right now it's just he's the son of the principal. A man goes over to a child and he says to him, look, let me tell you a little bit about your father. Your father lent me money. I owed your father back money. However, ve'achalti pras, but I paid him back already part of the loan. So now I'm telling your kid that I borrowed money from dad. I paid him back part of it, so I owe you now back the other part. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is an example of Moda B'Miksas. Even though there was no claim that prompted him, but he is admitting to part of the loan. And the Chachamim said, what are you talking about? This is Meshav Aveda. In other words, this is all information that's news to the child. And now the fact that he's that the borrower is even, you know, coming over and saying that he owes back part of the loan, he didn't have to say anything. This is a Shavas Aveda. And therefore, you don't have to make a Shvuah of Moda B'Miksas. Remember, we learned this in the Mishnah a couple days ago, that in a scenario where I'm returning a lost item to somebody, and he says, thank you, and then he opens his wallet and he finds half the money missing, and he turns to me, and now I have to make a Shvuah of Moda B'Miksas, I'm not returning a lost item ever again. No thank you. So, as a special takana, the Chachamim instituted that if you're returning a lost item, you're immune from having to make a shvuah. This is what's called a Shavas Aveda, the takana of a Shavas Aveda. So over here, this is the same, isn't it? And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov leisle meishav aveda pater. And the Gemara recognizes that the argument of the Chachamim is so strong that when a guy's going over to the child and saying to the child, I borrowed money from your father, I already paid him back part of it, I owe now the other part, this is no different than the Shavas Aveda. Of course you're not going to have to make a shvuah. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov talking about? Amarav b'shatan no katan. So Rav says, well, maybe we're talking about a case where the child knew about the loan and the child made a claim against the borrower. So katan v'amar tinish mal natanis chershat v'katan. So the Gemara says, okay, but if he's a minor at the time, meaning if he's a child and a minor, so he makes a claim. Wonderful. The claim is not a valid claim. La'olam gadda v'amai karele katan delgabi mila devu katanu. Okay, the Gemara says. So we'll change one detail. And that is that he was a child, but he's not a minor. Meaning now, having grown up, having known that his father lent money to somebody, having known that part of it has been paid and part of it's not been repaid, now he goes over to the borrower and he says to the borrower, as an adult, look, yeah, my dad lent you money, and now it's time to pay. So, So the Gemara says, well, okay, but then why are you calling that tainas atzmo? Right? It's a self-reported claim. It's not a self-reported claim. The son of the lender is going over to him. So the Gemara says, tainas achem vahodas atzmo. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. So you know what it is? It's a claim made by somebody else, but it's his own admission. The Gemara says, that's not unusual. That's every moda b'miksas. Tapa membeis amad beis. Kulunami. How do you think every moda b'miksas looks like? It looks like that. It looks like somebody makes a claim against you, and you now are saying, oh, I paid back some of it, but I didn't pay back the other. So, what is going on in the Mishnah that we're having a debate, and now we're describing as Tanas Atzmo? It's not Tanas Atzmo. So the Gemara finally concedes. The Gemara says, Ela b'deraba kemiflagi. So the Gemara says, fine, you are right. And so over here, what's at issue is the following. And as I mentioned in the beginning of the perek, this is it. Meaning, here we are now in the sixth perek of Shavuos, and here we are now explaining why is a person making a shvuah moda b'miksas. Meaning, what is the psychology behind the Torah in terms of explaining that if a full denial, I don't have to make a shvuah, but moda b'miksas, I do have to make a shvuah. And we saw this back in Bar Metzia, and now we're seeing it right now in the heart of the sixth perek of Shavuos. Amarava. Mimnei ma'amra Torah amoda b'mikzas hatani shava. Why? Why are you making a shvur b'mikzas? Chazakin adamei zbanu b'fnei b'chovo. Because generally we assume that a person will not be that blatantly arrogant and chutzpedik to the person who lent him the money. The way Rashi explains it, not here, but back in Bamutsia, is because he did you a tova. And now you're going to look him square in the eye and you're going to say you didn't lend him the money. You don't, nobody has that kind of chutzpah. V'hai b'kulei b'ay d'lichbarei, v'hai d'lo kafri mishum deina ma'iz b'ifnei b'achovo. Now, here for a moment, for a split moment, he thought, let me just deny it. No, I can't deny it. He lent me the money, I can't deny it. So if I'm not going to deny it, so then the next option, of course, is to own up to it and say that I owe the money. So, but you know what? I'd love to own up to it right now. I just don't have the money to pay him back. So basically what I'll do is I'll stall. So I'll pay back whatever I have right now, and I'll give him back the rest later. And the Torah now says, okay, so here we are. In a position where you're just trying to find a stall tactic, the Torah says to you, no stall tactic. Meaning, make the shvua now. Come clean now. So if you owe part of it, fine. Meaning, but if you don't owe part of it, so then admit to it right now. This is all the psychology behind Moda B'Mikzas. And now with that in mind, so now who are we talking about over here? Who's making the claim against you? It's not the principal lender. He died. It's his son. And now, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savaloshna Bovaloshna Bivno Eino Meiz. And so Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, look, you're not going to look at the lender in the eye and deny that you owe him. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, and the same thing is true with the son. Meaning the same Hakar Satov that you have to the lender will be extended to the son. And so the same psychological point is true both for the lender and for the son as well. And therefore this does not fall into the category of Hashavas Aveda. And therefore you're going to have to make a Shuv of Moda B'Mikzas. V'rabanan savri b'fanav hudeno meiz aval b'fnei b'no meiz. So, and the Chachamim say no. This starting point, that I'm not going to be chutzpedik to the lender, is only to the lender himself, who went out of his way, and it was gomel chesed, and he gave me the money when I needed it. But now it's his son. Oh, okay. Fine. I owe your father such a debt of gratitude. But that's your father. Not you. And therefore, midilo meiz meishav avedu. And so therefore, and now, according to the Chachamim, where he would be able, he'd have the courage to go over to the son and say, I don't know him anything. And now whatever he admits, let's call that Hashavas Aveda. And that's why, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's why, according to the Chachamim, since it's a case of meishav avedu, so he's not going to make a shvua under these circumstances. Okay. Well, we'll pause over here, almost up to speed. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at this juncture of the Gemara.